Okay, good morning, everybody. Guten Morgen. Today's daf is Erevin daf Samach. We left off on daf Nun Tes on the base. We are at the two dots. Hoyso shel Rabin Barehi v'chulei. And today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So first, we're going to talk about that exact halach of Hoyso shel Rabin Barehi shel Rabin. That the idea of leaving out a portion of a city that's shel Rabin in order to make an eruv. And we're going to have a discussion whether a ladder is considered to be a Pesach of a city, and we're going to tell the story of a city where they had to figure out exactly what to exclude from the Eruv in order to be able to make a valid Eruv. And then the next Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a case of a person who sends his son. It doesn't seem that it has to dafka be a son, but he sends somebody to make an Eruv for him where he is not, and different situations where it may exclude him from even being able to go to his own house or from being able to access his own Eruv. And the Gemara is going to talk about the particulars of those cases. And then the Gemara is going to have a discussion of when is it that we view a city, an entire city, as being like Dalet Amos, and when do we view a city for what it is, for its actual dimensions when it comes to Eruv Tchumen. Mm-hmm. So let's begin again at the two dot Taitzah Shel Rabim V'Arehi. The Mishnah had said that if the city used to be Shel Rabim and remains Shel Rabim and it only has one Pesach, you're allowed to be Ma'ariv as Kula. You're allowed to make an Eruv in the entire city without excluding anything, as long as there's only one Pesach. So the Gemara tells a story about a city that only had one Pesach. Rabbi Zeira Avra Lamasa Debe Rabbi Chia V'lo Shavak Lashir. Rabbi Zeira made an Eruv for Rabbi Chia's city, and he didn't leave anything out of the Eruv. He didn't leave any neighborhood out of the Eruv, meaning he treated it like a city that used to be an Ir Shal Yachid, where the Mishnah says that you're allowed to make one big Eruv and you have to exclude anything. So Amalei Abayis, Abayis said to Rabbi Zeira, my time Avad Mar Hachi, why did you do that? It's an Ir Shal Rabim. You have to leave something out of it. You're not allowed to just make an Eruv in the entire city. Samalei Sabi Dida Amri Li, the elders of the city reported to me that Reb Chia Barashi Ma'ariv Kula, that there's an old tradition in the city. Reb Chia Barashi used to be making Eruv in the entirety of the city without excluding anything. So Va'amina Shmamina Ir Shal Yachiv Na Shal Rabmi. So I figured, why would he do that? It must be that it used to be an Ir Shal Yachid, that the history of the city is that it used to be an Ir Shal Yachid, and now it was Nase Shal Rabim, and therefore I'm allowed to make an Eruv in the entire city without leaving anything out. So Amalei, so Abayi said back to Rabbi Zeira, Lididi Amruli Hanusabi, those same elders of the city told me that it's true Rabbi Chia Barashi used to make an Eruv in the entire city without leaving anything out, but there was a different reason for it. Hahi Ashba Havala Mechad Gisa, that city had an Ashba in on one side of the city that closed off the entranceway on that side of the city, and therefore that city used to have only Pesach Echad. And the halach is, even if you have Nir Shal Rabim but it only has one Pesach, it only has one entranceway, then you're allowed to make an Eruv in the entire city. That's why they used to do that. So even if it originally was an Ir Shal Rabim, they were able to make an Eruv for the entire city. But v'hashadi panya la'ashpa, but now that Ashpa is gone, havlik shnei pesachim va'asir, now it has two entranceways, and therefore it's an Ir Shal Rabim that always was an Ir Shal Rabim with two doorways, meets all the criteria of requiring that you leave something out of the Eruv, and therefore you should have left something out of the Eruv. So Amalei, Rabbi Zeira said back, Lavadatai, I didn't know that that was the case. I made a mistake over here. I assumed that the reason he never left something out of the Eruv was that it used to be an Ir Shal Yachid, but now you're telling me it was always an Ir Shal Rabim, and it was really about the fact that they used to only have one Pesach. Okay, I didn't know that. The Ritva just points out that when we say that it used to have an Ashpa, it must mean an Ashpa Shal Rabim, because an Ashpa Shal Rabim is considered to be closing off a Pesach. We're not Choshesh that you might remove it at some point, but we learned way back at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Ches that an Ashpa Shal Yachid, we're always Choshesh that Shema Yifnosa, that you might remove that Ashpa, and therefore it doesn't take away the Toras Pesach. It doesn't take away the status of a door, even though it may physically currently be blocking the entranceway. So it's ironic, because by an Ashpa Shal Rabim, we're not Choshesh that it might be removed. But over here, it obviously was removed, because now it didn't have an Ashpa over there anymore. Now it had two Pesachim. So anyway, so he said, I didn't didn't realize, but that in fact was a mistake. So now, Baimne Rabbi Ami Bar Ada Harpano Ame Rabba, he raised the following shaila: Sula Mikan U Pesach Mikan Mahu. What if on one side of the city you have an entrance, the other side you have a wall, but there's a ladder that allows people to go over the wall? We said that in Yerushal Rabbim that has two entranceways, there's two Pesachim. You can't make an Erev in the entire city. You have to have a shiur, or you have to leave something out. But if it only has one doorway, you don't need to make a shiur. So now, what if it has one doorway, but on the other side, it has a ladder? Do we view the ladder as a second doorway because it gives people access, and it's not a din in having a door, it's a din in having access? Or do we say, no, there's a wall over there. The fact that you have a way, I don't care if you have a helicopter or a ladder or whatever, but there's a wall over there, so that's only considered one Pesach. So I'm like, sulam taras Pesach love, that a sulam has a din of a Pesach, it has a din of another doorway, and therefore you have to be Meshayer something from the Erev of the city. So Rav Nachman said, don't listen to what Rabba just said in the name of Rav, that a sulam has a status of a Pesach, because Hachi Amar Rav Ada Amar Rav, because Rav Ada said in the name of Rav, sulam taras Pesach alav vid taras mechitza alav, that a sulam has both. It can sometimes be considered a Pesach and sometimes be considered a mechitza, whichever way would yield the greater kula. So if there's a kula in calling the latter a Pesach, we'll go with that. If there's a kula in calling the latter a mechitza, or calling the mechitza and the latter not taking away the status of mechitza, we'll go with that. Taras mechitza alav keda amaran. In our case that we've been discussing, the sulam has a taras mechitza, meaning will not have a din of a Pesach, and therefore you'll be allowed to make an Erev in the entire city without leaving anything out, because there really is a mechitza over here, and we could ignore the sulam. But taras Pesach alav, and when does a sulam have a status of a Pesach? Sulam shbein shtei chatzeros. Let's say you have two independent chatzeros that are separated by a wall. So normally, if they're totally separated by a wall, they cannot make one Erev that joins them all together. They have to make two separate Eruvei chatzeros. But if there's access from one chatzer to the other, if there's a doorway from one chatzer to the other, then they have options. They can choose to make separate Eruvei chatzeros, or they can choose to make one big Eruv chatzeros. If they have a wall and a ladder that allows them access from one to the other, so then the halacha is ratzu echad ma'ariv, ratzu shnayim ma'arvin. We go l'kula, and we say that has the same status as a Pesach, and they can choose to be ma'ariv independently, the two chatzeros independently, or to make one big Eruv between the two of them. So now the Gemara raises a question, a stira in Rav Nachman. Umiyam Rav Nachman Hachi, because again, Rav Nachman is one that said, don't you dare listen to what Rabba said in the name of Rav. No, Sulam does not have a Torah. Pesach, a Sulam is whatever is Lakula, whether it's a Pesach or a Mechitza, whatever is Lakula. So says Gemara, does Rav Nachman really say that? Umiyam Rav Nachman Hachi, does Rav Nachman really think that Rav holds that a Sulam is whatever is Lakula? Vam Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, Anshi Chatzav Anshim, Pesach, Bedin Rav Nachman tells the name of Shmuel, that if you have a chatzer that has ground floor apartments, and it also has second story apartments that open up into a marpeset, into a porch on the second floor, sheshachachum, below Irvu, they didn't make an Erev between the ground floor and the people that live on the second floor. Im yesh lefnei daka arba'a, if in front of the sulam of the marpeses, there's a sulam to get down from the marpeses, and they have a daka arba'a, a small pesach, a small opening of four tfachim, eina oseris, and the marpeses is not going to aser on the people that live on the ground floor, because they're being megaladas, that they want to separate themselves from the chatzer. But v'im lav, if they didn't make this a small Pesach by the foot of the ladder, Oseres, then they're considered residents of that same Chatzer, and they have Drisas Regel in that Chatzer, and they're going to Aser on the Bnei Chatzer. What do you see? The Rav Nachman holds that a Sulam has a din of a Pesach, even Lahachmir, and therefore the people who live in the upper story are considered to be members and residents of that chatzer, because there's a sulam that connects them, and that's going to be a chumrah, because now the fact that they were not included in the Eruv is a problem for the people on the ground floor, whereas we just said before that Rav Nachman said, nah, sulam's whatever you want it to be. Sometimes it's a Pesach, sometimes whatever is more l'kula. And over here you see that that we go l'chumrah based on the status of a sulam as a Pesach. The Ritva just points out an obvious problem over here. The Gemara said, Umiyam Rav Nachman Hachi, does Rav Nachman really say this? Say what? Does Rav Nachman really say that Rav holds that a Sulam is whatever is Lakula? Va'amar Rav Nachman Amar? Shmuel. But Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. Why does that bother me? Yes, Rav holds a sulam is whatever is the kula, and Shmuel holds that a sulam as a din of a Pesach. So the Ritva makes this ha'ara, and he says, the Ritva says the Gemara doesn't want to say that it's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and Rav Nachman really holds like Rav, and therefore, because he holds like Rav, he said, you better not listen to Rabbah, who said that a sulam always has a din of a Pesach, because I paskin like Rav, who says that that a sulam is whatever is lukula, because even if he paskin like Rav, how could he possibly tell anybody who paskins the other way, you better not listen. You better not listen to Rabbah, who says the other way. Shmuel says the other way, so why not listen? Meaning, it's at least a machlokas, and you, Rav Nachman, yourself are quoting Shmuel all the time, so how could you say that someone who follows Shmuel, that you're going to say, you speak out so strongly against it? No, it must be that he yelled that it's not a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and therefore we have a question over here. How come when it comes to the bottom floor and the top floor of the residence of a chatzer, we view the sulam as a Pesach, even l'chumra? So says Mar Hachmei Askinan, b'delogva marpesas asara. We're talking about a marpesa that is not 10 tefachim high off the ground, and therefore the people that live there are considered to be residents of the chatzer, even without a ladder connecting them. It's not the ladder's status of a Pesach that connects them, it's their proximity to the chatzer that connects them. So, well, then wait a second, if they're not even 10 tefachim elevated, then why does making a daka, making a little Pesach at the bottom of the sulam, separate them? There should be nothing in the world that could separate them. They're right there. So that's the Gemara, b'mugufefes ades ramos. Now, the marpesa has a fence around it, has a railing around it, let's say, but it has an opening in that railing of up to 10 amos. The kim davidaka is takule istaluk le mehacha, that once they make the daka, they make that low Pesach, so they're being megala that they don't want to be members of that chatzer, and mainly you're not going to have to make, they're not going to have to join in the same chatzer as the people who live on the ground floor. Meaning, since there is this mechitza around the marpesas, they're able to be considered a separate rishus, even though the floor of the marpesas is within 10 tefachim of the ground. That mechitza separates them from the bnei chatzer. Amar of Dumer Shmuel, kosel shuritzafa b'sulamos. What if you have a wall and that separates two chatzeros, but you line up ladders along the entire wall? Afilu b'yaser me'yaser. Even if you did it along more than 10 amos, Taras mechitza alav. The wall is still a wall. The wall between two chatzeros, normally if you have a wall between two chatzeros that has a pirtza of yeser me'yaser, that's open more than 10 amos, it's mevatel the mechitza in between the chatzeros. And now you have to put, you have only one choice if you want to make an eruv. You have to make an eruv of the two chatzeros all together. And if each one tries to make their own eruv, it's invalid. Because each one, the members of residents of each chatzer, asra on the other. So Shmuel says, if you have a full mechitza, but you put all of these ladders of yeser me'eser, that's not the same as a pirtza of yeser me'eser. So we can view those ladders as a, it's Torah's mechitza alav. It's considered to be a mechitza that has access through it. Where the halacha then is, the residents of the chatzeros can make independent eruvin, or they could join in and make a single eruv together. So Ramile, Rav Bruna, Rav Yehuda, Rav Bruna asked the following question to Rav Yehuda, Bima Atzarta, Debe Rabbi Chanina, and where he happened to have been talking and learning with him was in the olive press, or the wine press of Rav Chanina. Mi Amar Shmuel, Taras Mechitza Lav. Does Shmuel really say that a ladder has a din of a mechitza in that we could be makil, that these can still be considered independent chatzeros that are allowed to make independent eruvin? Vamar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Anshim Rav Pesach, Anshim Chatz Shachav Lo Irvu. Didn't Rav Nachman say in the name of Shmuel that if they the people on the bottom floor and people live on the top floor that did not make an eruv with each other, im yesh lefanel daka arba'a eino seris, if they make a small Pesach at the foot of the ladder that's four tefachim, then it's the people in the marpesah are not going to asr on the chatzar, but v'im lav seres, but if they don't make a daka, then they will asr. So you see that the sulam is a din of a Pesach lahachmir. We don't view it as a mechitza lahakel to separate the people in the marpeset. We view it as a real Pesach, even though that means a chumra. So it says, Marau, hachmei eskinan, the log of our marpeset. That's all right. We already answered that question. That case was talking about where the marpeset was not 10 tefachim off the ground. So it's not the sulam that makes the marpeset part of the chatzar. It's the fact that it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. ground. Well, if it's not even 10 tefachim off the ground, why does making a daka separate them from the chatzar if they're physically mamish in the chatzar? So it says, same answer we gave before, that the marpeset is surrounded by a wall, and because it's surrounded by a wall that has a breach in it of less than 10 amos, making the daka is they're allowed to consider themselves separate, and making the daka is their statement that they do consider themselves separate, and therefore the members of the chatzar can make an independent eruv, not including the members of the marpeset. So now the Gemara tells a story about excluding an area from an eruv. Hanu b'nei kakunai. There was a city called Kakuna. It's also the kabed Rav Yosef. So the residents of the city came to Rav Yosef and Amalei Havlan Gavad Delavlan Masin. Send us an eruv expert. We'd like you to send us someone to make an eruv. The Miri points out they were not bnei Torah. They didn't know how to make an eruv. Not everyone knows how to eruv and are complicated. So most cities, when they make an eruv, they bring in an outside expert. Very often, you don't even have someone who's in the Jewish community who's capable of making an eruv. So they went to Rav Yosef. Send us someone to make an eruv. So Amalei Labai. So Rav Yosef sent Abaye Zila Revluhu. He sent Abaye to go be the one to make the eruv. But he said, "V'chazi d'lo mitzavachat Allah bebe midrasha. I'd rather not have to face complaints about this eruv. So do it in a way that people aren't going to come to the base medrash complaining about the eruv." So this is an old tradition about complaining about eruv. So Tosa said, that's how Tosa understands that I don't want to have face complaints about this eruv. Make sure this eruv is 100% glatt. The Meiri says that not that the residents of the community are going to complain about the eruv. They don't know anything. They're just going to be told you have an eruv. They don't even know how to make an eruv. So they're going to be happy. That's not the issue. Where the Meiri says that he's saying, I don't want it to be a tumult in the base medrash. It shouldn't have to be the kinds of issues that you rely on to make this eruv. Shouldn't have to be something that the Talmidim in the base medrash have to fight about whether it's valid or not. Again, but the point is that make it glatt. Make it something that's an unquestionably kosher eruv. So azal chazalanu lahanu batei depiskul nara. So Abaye went and he saw that at the end of the city there were houses right by the riverbank, and they opened up toward the river, but they had no windows or entranceways toward the city. Amar hani lahavi shir lamasa. So Abaye says, oh, these are a great set of houses to exclude from the city eruv, because I have to make an eruv with excluding something, so I might as well exclude these houses, and then the whole rest of the city is good. So hadar amar, then Abaye thought to himself, nah, maybe these houses are not the best ones to exclude, because ein marv in eskula tanan, it says that you can't make an eruv with all of the houses in the city. Mechal di bayla ruve matzi marvi. It sounds like whatever you're excluding has to have been houses that could have been included. If these houses don't even open up into the city, then maybe they could not have been included in the first place, and therefore their exclusion doesn't count as an exclusion. Ella yavalu kavi. So he says, I'll make for these houses windows that face toward the city, and then that would make them eligible for an eruv, and then they'll be eligible to be the ones that are left out of the eruv, and that way we'll make it 100% kosher. Hadar amar, then Abaye says, lo bayi, I don't have to make windows for these houses. I could just leave them out of the eruv as they are. Why? Da Rabba Baravua marv lo lekula mechuzah. Rabba Baravua made an eruv for the entire city of mechuzah. Arsiyasa arsiyasa, neighborhood by neighborhood, each shchuna on its own. And he did not make an eruv in the entire city at once. And the reason he did that is mishumpira de beitore, because in between each neighborhood there were these big holes in the ground where they would put date seeds that they would use for animal fodder, and those holes in the ground used to separate between the different shchunos. So he could not make a single eruv for all of them because the neighborhoods were separated from each other. So since Rabbi Baravua made an eruv for each shchuna entirely without leaving out any part of it, it must be, where's the shiur? How can he do this? How can he not leave something out of it? It must be the kolchad v'chad avishir l'chavre, that it's the fact that the other shchunos were not included in the eruv of this shchuna, that they're considered a shiur from the eruv of this shchuna, even though they couldn't join in the eruv with this shchuna. There were these holes in the ground that separated them, but it's still good enough to be a shiur. So apparently you see from there that you don't have to be eligible for the eruv in order to be eligible to be considered the exclusion from the eruv. Apparently they could not have joined in the eruv, and yet they still count as the exclusion from the eruv. Hadramar, then Abaye went back and said to himself, lo dami, nah, maybe I can't compare the case of making the eruv in each each and every shchuna and counting the other shchunos as a shiur from the Eruv to my case with these houses on the riverbank, because over there they did have access to each other. The shchunos had access to each other, not on the ground, but they had overpasses that went over from one gag to the other. So therefore, they could have made an Eruv together, and that's why they're considered a shiur. Each one is a shiur for the other. Nahani lo ma'arvi, but the houses that are by the riverbank are not allowed to join in the Eruv at all. Hilchos Navdim Kavi. And therefore, final answer, I'm going to make windows in order that they should be eligible for the Eruv, and therefore they can be the exclusion from the Eruv. Hadramar, then Abai said, Kavinami lo bai. Nah, maybe I don't need to make windows. Da'u beitivna, because there was a Beis HaTeven once, a house where they kept hay or straw. Da'avile lemar bar pupidasa, mi pumbedisa, that belonged to mar bar pupidasa from pumbedisa. Vishavi shir lu pumbedisa, and he left the exclusion from the Eruv was the city of Pumbedisa, even though Beis HaTeven cannot be joined together in an Eruv with the rest of the houses of the city because it doesn't require an Eruv at all. So you see that it still counted as the Shiur for the Eruv of Pumbedisa. So apparently you don't need to be able to join in the Eruv in order to be able to be considered the exclusion from the Eruv. Amar, Sabai said, after all this back and forth, these ping-ponging back and forth on this issue, so he said, Hainu damar limar, chazid lo mitzav chasalab be medrashi. So now I understand why Rav Yosef said it's going to be complicated. Rav Yosef gave me that warning that it's going to be complicated to make sure that I do the Eruv in such a way that there shouldn't be any complaints about the Eruv. So this discussion about a shiur from the Eruv, so we mentioned yesterday just very briefly that it doesn't seem that that's the practice, that we leave anything out of an Eruv. So why is that? So Magen Avraham suggests that we're somech on what Rashi writes. That Rashi writes that any city that doesn't have Shishim Ribo is not a Nir Shel Rabin. If it doesn't have 600,000 people, we don't have such cities where we make Eruv in anyway, and therefore there's no such thing as Nir Shel Rabin, and therefore we never require the Shiur. The Elia Rabba suggests that we're somech on those that hold on a Tshuvas Haran that the houses of Goyim are considered a Shiur, as long as there are some non-Jewish residents, so that's going to be a Shiur from the Eruv. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that he finds both of those suggestions to be dachuk. There's an Aruch HaYim Sim Shin Sadi Beis, and he suggests differently, that the need for a Shiur is only in those cities that had a wall, an actual physical wall around the city. Why do we need a Shiur from the Eruv? Because we don't want people to forget that you're not allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So if there was a physical wall around the city, and it was an Ir Shel Rabin, so people may not realize that there's an Eruv there, and that's the only reason you're allowed to carry. People are just going to think, oh, you're always allowed to carry, because you always will be. They're never going to get a frantic phone call after a Thursday night, Friday morning storm, an email alert, your Eruv is down, because the Eruv's never going to come down, because it's a wall. When it's a wall around the city, then you have such a concern. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, with our Eruvin, we don't have these giant walls around the city, we have Tzuras HaPesachs, and they come down all the time anyway. So we don't need this built-in reminder that you're not allowed to carry Bishal Rabim. Every time there's a storm, we get a reminder that you better make a donation to the Eruv committee, because they were up all night Thursday night rebuilding the Eruv, because the storm came down. We always have like this, that the only coincidence with the wind yesterday, but we always have like this, that there's there are reminders. There's also a discussion in the Sefer Ir HaKodesh HaMikdash about Yerushalayim. It's Mukhefes Choma, so it always had a din of an Ir Shel Rabim. So what did they leave out from the Eruv in Yerushalayim? So he suggests that maybe they leave out the Makom HaMikdash. That since they have to leave out a place that whoever's going to be left out is not going to be happy about being left out. So you leave out the Makom HaMikdash. No one's going there anyway, and they leave that out of the Eruv. And others suggest it doesn't work then, because if no one feels it, then it doesn't serve as a hecker, it doesn't serve as a reminder, if you're not allowed to go to the Makom HaMikdash anyway. So that's an interesting discussion that Rav Chaim Tukachinsky has in Yer HaKodesh VaMikdash about Yerushalayim and what they left out of their Eruv. So anyway, says the Gemara further now. The Mishnah said, Elam Kenasa Chutzla Ki Ir Chadasha. How much do you have to leave out of the Eruv? Something the size of Ir Chadasha, the city of Chadasha. Tanya Amrav Yudhi Yerach, Asai Sab Yehuda V'Chadasha Shema. There was a city in Yehuda called Chadasha, V'Yiba Chamishim Diurim, and there were 50 residents of the city at Nashim, Nashim Mataf, all together, with men, women, children, all together equaled 50. Uva, Yumisharim Chachamim, Vihi, Haisa Shiur. And that's what the Chachamim said. fast as the typical shiur to in order to not be ma'ariv a city in its entirety, and it was a shiur for the larger city. I mean, the Chum were able to make an eruv in that city independently, but it was the shiur from a larger neighboring city. So yibayilu chadasha mahu, the city of chadasha itself. What's the din when you make an eruv in chadasha? Do you need to leave out part of the city of chadasha? So says Gemara, chadasha was next to a very large city, and it was a shiur for the large city. Well, if it was the shiur of the eruv of the large city, can't the large city being excluded from chadasha's eruv be the shiur from chadasha's eruv? So it shouldn't be a problem. Ella ke'ein chadasha mahu. No, we're not asking about the actual city of chadasha, because the actual city of chadasha neighbored a large city. They had two independent eruvin, so each one was the exclusion for the other one. But what if you had a city that was in the middle of nowhere, and it was the size of chadasha? So do you need to leave out some residents of the city in order to have a shiur from the eruv? That was the shaila, not when you happen to have a neighboring city. The shaila itself is very difficult to understand. The Rishonim point out, how could it be that such a tiny city of 50 residents requires a shiur? The Mishnah said, Nun Tesa Med Aleph, only an ir shel rabim requires a shiur. Rashi says, what does ir shel rabim mean? Shishim ribo! That's a long way off from 50 people to shishim ribo. So what do you mean that it requires a shiur? Why would there even be a hava amina to leave anything out of chadasha? So the Tosfos Rid suggests, and we're talking about that inside the city there's a ma'aver drachim, there's a highway that goes through the city. So there is actually a Rosh Hasharab right through the city, and that makes it is an intercity highway, and that makes it an ir shel rabim. So there's a Long Island Railroad stop or something like that. There's an intercity highway that goes through the city, even though the city itself is a small city. That would make it shel rabim. The Rush suggests that we're talking about an ir that used to have a lot of people, but then for some reason the people migrated somewhere else, and therefore it has a din of an ir shahaisa shel rabim v'nasa shel yachid that does require a shiur. So anyway, even though there are only 50 residents left, the Gemara wants to know. So Rav Huna reviewed the chadam or bayu shiur, v'chadam lo bayu shiur. It's a machlokas whether it requires a shiur or not. Then we had Rabbi Shimon Omer Shalosh Chatzeros. Rabbi Shimon said that the size of the shiur is not the size of the city chadasha, but rather three chatzeros of two residents in each of the chatzeros. So Amar Rav Chan Bar Guri Amrav halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, that we pass on like Rabbi Shimon, that it should be three chatzeros, each one with shnei batim that serves as the shiur. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Afilu Bayis Echad v'chatzer Achas. You could even be mishayir a single house in a single chatzer. So the Gemara assumes that he means to say that just one house being left out of the eruv is good enough, and in addition to that, one chatzer that doesn't even have a house is good enough. Bayis achas or chatzer achas without even a bayis. So chatzer achas al gadaitach, really, that counts as a shiur if you leave out some empty abandoned courtyard that doesn't even have a house associated with it. Ela'ema bayis achad bi chatzer achas. No, these aren't two separate candidates for what could be a shiur. A bayis achad or a chatzer achas. No, it means a bayis in a chatzer achas. So I'm led by the Rav Yosef, had Rav Yitzchak Kamaro Svara. That comment of Rav Yitzchak, that one house is a good enough shiur, meaning we only had two opinions in the Mishnah. How much do you have to leave out? Either this 50 residents or three chatzeros with two residents each. And now we're introducing this third opinion of Rav Yitzchak that even a bayis achas, even one house is good enough to leave out. Does he have a tradition like that? That he was mekabel from his Rebbeim? Or is that something that he's just saying, Misvaras Atzmo? Is that something that he's saying on his own? Tosfos points out that if he has a Kabbalah that a Tana held that way, and he's paskening like that Tana against the Tanaim that we have listed in our Mishnah, so that's one thing. Or is it that there's no Tana, and he's just saying this on his own, and he's arguing on all the Tanaim? And Nafkamina would be, can we pasken like him? If he's an Amora arguing on the Tanaim in the Mishnah, we're not going to pasken like him. But if he has his own tradition that this is what the Tanaim held, then it could be that we're going to pasken like him, especially since Halachik Divrei Mekel Be'eruv. So as long as it's a legitimate opinion that he has a third Tana, then we're going to paskin like it. So that's why it's important to know whether it's Gemara or Svara. Samalei, my nafkalan mina. What difference does it make whether it's a Gemara or a Svara. Either way, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon that you need to leave out three chatzeros, and each one has two batim. So I'm like, Gemara is martatei. You want to turn the Gemara into just a song? Meaning you think all these words that we say are meaningless? We need to know where Rabbi Yitzchak learned his din. So even if we don't paskin like him, even if you're going to somehow conclude at the end of the day that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon anyway, I still want to know what Rabbi Yitzchak is based on. That's a key mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Rav Shachter often points out that when we say it means, yes, we always pass on like the Beis Hillel, but learning Shitas Beis Shammai and what Shitas Beis Shammai is based on is also Kiyum Talmud Torah. We don't just turn all of our learning into a song. This is how Tosus understands the back and forth of the Gemara, that we should we pass in like Rabbi Shimon at the end of the day anyway, and we just want to know what Rabbi Yitzchak Shita is based on, whether he's a valid Shita or it's just an Amora arguing on Tanaim. The Rif Paskins like Rabbi Yitzchak, that you only need to leave out bayis echad, chatzer achas. So the Rush just wonders, how can you paskin like an Amora against all the Tanaim? Rabbi Yitzchak's an Amora. So the Rush writes that the Rif must have held that Rabbi Yitzchak is not an Amora, that Rabbi Yitzchak is in fact a Tana, and it's a Braisa, and that's why he paskins like him, because halachik divrei mekel be'eruv, and Abaye, that's why Abaye relied on him, because it tells the story that they relied on a base tevan as a shiur. So you see that you could just leave out a single house, like Rabbi Yitzchak said. So the Ritva however says that according to that, you have to explain the Kasha of the Gemara, Mainafkalan Mina, in the opposite way. That since Memela the Halachas can be like Rabbi Yitzchak anyway, why do I care whether he says it mi Gemara or mi Svara? That's the Mainafkalan Mina. I'm all in on Rabbi Yitzchak. He's a Tana. I'm an apostle. I'm a Halachas Divrei Mekel Be'eruv. I don't need to know where he gets it from. Says, well, no, it's important to know what's behind the Halacha also. It's not enough to know just what the Halacha is, but you have to know what the halacha is based on as well. Okay, says the Gemara, the new Mishnah now. So the Mishnah discusses again Tchum Shabbos meaning we're back to Tchum Shabbos now after a little bit of a break for some reason. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss halachas about a person who sends someone else to make his erev tchumin. So Mishai b'Mizrach, someone who's east of the city va'amar lebeno, and he tells his son Arev li b'marav, make for me an erev set. For me, an Erev in the west of the city, b'marav, the fellow is located right now west of the city, and he sends his child to go make an Erev for him on the east of the city. So, if between where he is and his house there's 2,000 amos, and there's more than 2,000 amos between where he and his son put his Erev down, so then mutar lebeso, he's allowed to go to his house, but he's not allowed to go to his Erev, since his Erev is more than 2,000 amos from the place that he currently is at Bein Hashmashos, the Erev is not Chal, because you're not allowed to just put an Erev a million miles away and say, oh, that's my residence, if it's not within 2,000 amos of where you are when Shabbos started. So you can't be Kona Shvisa there at all. So Le'eruv al Payamama, if he's within 2,000 amos of his Erev, Ulbeso Yasumikan, but he's more than 2,000 amos away from his house, so Asul Lebeso Mutu Le'eruv, then it's the reverse. Then his Erev is Kona Shvisa for him, but he's not allowed to go to his house. So the Erev is less than 2,000 amos from him, so the Erev is good. So he's Kona Shvisa where his Erev is. So he has Alpayamama from where his Erev is. Hanosan his Erev will be Bura Shalir. If a person puts his Erev in one of the houses that are within 70 and 2/3 amos of the city, Lo Asav Lo Klum, that's a waste of an Erev, because anyway he's allowed to travel throughout the whole city and then 2,000 amos outside of the city. When you live in a city, the entire city has a din of Dalet Amos for you, so you're allowed to go as far as you want in the city. And Ibura Shalir is still considered part of the city, so you don't need to put an Erev Tchumin inside your city. The son of Chutzl Tchum, if you put the Erev outside of the Tchum, Afilu Ama Achas, even if you just put it one Ama outside of the Tchum, Mashaniskaru Mafsid, then whatever you gain in that direction, you lose in the other direction. You put it 1,000 Amos east of the city, so you're now allowed to go, you are now permitted to travel up to 3,000 Amos east of the city, but you're only allowed to go 1,000 Amos west of the city. So whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction, right? These are the ABCs of how an Erev Tchumen works. Now, says the Gemara, we assume that the first case that the Mishnah spoke about When the Mishnah said that you're b'mizrach and the you put the you ask the son to set the erev and he puts it b'mariv, so kasal kadaitach, we assumed that l'mizrach, the guy was standing in the mizrach and he told the son, make me an erev in the mariv, means l'mizrach beso, that he was east of his house and he told the son to make an erev west of his house. And the Mishnah, and when it says l'mariv, that he was standing in the mariv, means l'mariv beso, that he was standing west of his house and he asked his son to make an error for him east of his house. So Bishlam Amen al Bas al Pai Mamale Ruva Yasubikan. So I understand very well the case where he's within 2,000 amos of his house, but more than 2,000 amos away from his Eruv, Mishkaksa Dumatil Basil Matil Eruvo. So I get the case, meaning if I'm closer to my house than I am to my Eruv, because I'm asking my son to put the Eruv on the other side of the house from where I am, so I understand very well how that could work out. I'm within 2,000 amos of my house, I'm not within 2,000 amos of my Eruv. I understand that makes sense. But wait a second. If I am by definition closer to my house than I am to my Erev, because I'm on the east, I'm to the east of my house, and I'm asking my son to put the Erev to the west of my house, how can the Mishnah come up with a case where I'm closer to my Erev, where I'm within 2,000 amos of my Erev, but not within 2,000 amos of my house? How does that happen? By definition, we set up the case that I'm closer to my house than I am to the Erev. So what does that mean? That I'm within 2,000 amos of the Erev, but not within 2,000 amos of the house. What's the case? So it says, "Amar Rav Yitzchak, mi savri? Do you think that the Mishnah means the mizrach beso, the marav beso? No, we misunderstood. The mizrach means the mizrach beno, that you're east of where your son is. The marav means the marav beno, that really the guy was standing between his house and his son, who's making the Erev. But sometimes his house is closer to him than his Erev, and sometimes his Erev is closer to him than his house. So it's house, guy, son. It's not guy, house, son, the way we've been understanding it. So it's just a matter of proximity, of which one are you closer to? Are you closer to the child, or are you closer to the house? Rava bar Rav Shila amar afilu tema lemizrach lemizrach beso lemarav lemarav beso kigon dekai besi balach sona. No, it's maybe they're not in a straight line. It could be that he's to the east of his house, and he's asking his son to make him an erev to the west of his house, and he's still going to be closer to the erev than he is to the house, because it's not a straight line, he's at an angle, like Rashi draws the picture over here. I don't know if Rashi drew these pictures or not, but it's an ancient tradition. Someone just texted me this morning that the author of Perush Chai, which is the first thorough picture book on the Erevin, just passed away from COVID. So the learning of all of Erevin, with all the pictures and all the things, should be such an aliyas neshama. What a contribution to learning, to Dafyomi learners especially. So all of these fancy pictures that we have now, before computer graphics, he made he worked on these pictures. I don't know who it is. I don't know the name. But so anyway, so he said Balach Zona. So says Mara, I know say Ruva b'toch Ibura. We then said in the Mishnah that if you make an Erev in the Ibura shel ir, it's a waste of time because you have your whole city anyway. So the Gemara says, do you think that a person is going to make his Erev outside of 2,000 amos of the tchum of the city? In such a way, the Erev is totally useless. No, when we said that if you put a chutz l'tchum, even ama achas, so whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction, it doesn't mean you put it outside of the tchum. If you put it outside of the tchum of the city, you lost entirely. Then you have no Erev. It means you put it outside of the city by one amos. So whatever you put outside of the city in one direction, you lose in the other direction. So we said, whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. So now ask the Gemara, only mashiniskar v'sulo, you only lose that which you gain in that direction? V'atanya, but don't we have a brisa that tells us, that if you put an Erev within the Ibura shel ir, then you've accomplished nothing. But nesanu chutz l'Ibura shel ir, if you put it just beyond the Ibura shel ir, afilu am by putting it one amma outside of the city, outside of the Ibura Shalir, you gain that amma, but umafsid es kol ha'ir kula. You lose the whole city. Because now you have to measure the 2,000 amos, counting whatever, however large the city is. So if the city itself is 2,000 amos, that's it. You're not going to be able to go to the other side of the city at all. Whereas while you're a resident of the city, the whole city is dalet amos. So you can go in 2,000 2,000 amos in every direction. So by making your residence outside of the city, you're really messing yourself up. So it says Mar Lo Kasha. Kansha Kolsa Midasa B'chatzi Ir, Kansha Kolsa Midasa B'sofi Ir. The Bryce is talking about where the 2,000 amos ends in the middle of the city. The city was more than 2,000 amos, or you put your Eruv so far away that the 2,000 amos ends somewhere in the middle of the city. So that's what we say, that the city is measured, the 2,000 amos get measured within the city, so when you gain one amma to the Mizrach of the city, you could lose 1,000 amos to the Marav of the city. But when Kalsa Midasa B'Sofir, but when the entire city is within the 2,000 amos, then we view the whole city as if it's Dalet Amos. Kedravi Didam Ravi Dam Rabbi Shob ben Levi Hayamod De Dubav Kalsa Midasa B'Chatzi Ir. If the measurement ends in the middle of the city, Ein Lo Ela Chatzi Ir, then that's where your line ends, right in the middle of the city. Kalsa Midasa B'Sofir Naso Ir Kula Ka'arba Amos Mashlim Lo Es Ashar. Then the whole city becomes Dalet Amos if it's all within the 2,000 amos. So Amar Ravidi Ein Elu Ela Divrei Nevius. Ravidi says that is Divrei Nevius. Mali Kalsa B'Chatzi Ir, Mali Kalsa B'Sofir. Why would it make a difference if it ends in the middle of the city or it ends at the end of the city? Why should that matter as far as what the city counts as? That's Divrei Nevius. Tosfos has a major discussion over here. Is that a compliment? Ooh, you're like a Navi? Or is that an insult? You must be a Navi to say something like that, and you're certainly no Navi. So that's a major discussion in the Rishon HaBezrim. Tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rava at the bottom.